The Harvey Weinstein scandal sparked the Me Too and Time's Up movements, thrusting what were previously obscure non-disclosure agreements into the limelight. In this IBA podcast, we speak to Maria Miller, MP, Chair of the House of Commons Women and Equality Select Committee, Kate Jenkins, Australia's Sex Discrimination Commissioner, and Zelda Perkins, Harvey Weinstein's former assistant, about why it's high time the corporate world cleaned up the use of NDAs. We begin with Maria Miller, MP, Chair of the House of Commons Women and Equality Select Committee, which has been conducting a widespread inquiry into the misuse of NDAs. She discusses why she's calling on the UK government to give employees greater legal protections against the misuse of these agreements.
The evidence that we received as part of our inquiry showed the widespread impact of non-disclosure agreements. And I think it was that really was quite surprising to members of the committee. Too often the use of NDAs can be in the context of people who may be, you know, Hollywood stars or those in the upper echelons of their profession. But the evidence that we had as part of this inquiry was that it's very much something that people can experience really in any walk of life. When you get into the practical impact of non-disclosure agreements on individuals and whether they are actually doing what, you know, legally trained people think they're doing, and you realise that they are not, they are causing harm, they are not benign, then I think that those organisations need to think again and really question whether the use of NDAs is always seen as an imperative as it is at the moment. That I think is going to be a big culture change though. There are a number of ethical issues at play too, and you realise that particularly when you're dealing with in-house lawyers, there are some considerable conflicts there between their duties as professionals and their duties to their employer.
Miller has stopped short at calling for an outright ban on NDAs, but believes employers have a responsibility to protect their employees.
What we said in the report is that there should be a direction of travel by the government towards reducing their use and potentially banning them in the future. One of our recommendations of having, you know, standardised plain English clauses could well be a really important way forward, as well as having senior members of company management, organisational management, responsible for when non-disclosure agreements are used. Because it appeared sometimes that people weren't necessarily aware that non-disclosure agreements were being used as extensively as they were. And the evidence around potentially inadvertently hiding repeat serial offenders within organisations was very powerful and something which I think will be a wake-up call to many organisations.
In Australia, a national inquiry into sexual harassment in workplaces has also been focusing on the damaging impact of NDAs. Kate Jenkins is Australia's Sex Discrimination Commissioner and has been leading the inquiry. She says the current legal system in Australia places too much onus on employees to report misconduct.
Corporates have a big incentive to keep sexual harassment allegations quiet, and those non-disclosure agreements are an important part of the ecosystem that employers are using to make sure that they avoid the reputational risk of a sexual harassment complaint. Our laws on sexual harassment are very clear. They make sexual harassment at work unlawful, but they're really only enforced if someone brings a complaint. And an employer will be liable if, you know, the complaint is upheld and they can't show that they've taken steps to prevent it. But from an employer point of view then, there's not many legal obligations to take action to stop sexual harassment, but there's a real incentive to stop complaints. And in some ways, if they can't stop complaints, what they can do is reach a settlement. Where confidentiality applies, then someone who is engaging in sexual harassment, and particularly against a number of people over time, each of those confidentiality agreements do tend to sort of put the needle back to zero in a sense. So the concerns that have been raised with us is that the confidentiality agreement allows perpetrators to continue because they often don't have any marks on their employment record.
After 20 years of working in private practice, Jenkins says confidentiality clauses have become too commonplace and often prevent companies from dealing with systemic issues.
It's just normal practice in the legal field when you enter a settlement to have a confidentiality term in there. Usually the parties involved were wanting to put it behind them, so that although it mightn't have been entered with the idea that we want to silence all sexual harassment, it had become normal practice. In my professional career, I was amazed how often managers would say, we don't have a sexual harassment issue here at this workplace. And I will have been their lawyer for, 10 years. And I know they have a really bad sexual harassment, case at least once a year every year. So I would know, but they had never heard because of this keeping it confidential. There's no broader learning and there's no collective trend information that's shared that will be really useful to stop what is in essence a systemic issue. And it's not really a story of an individual bad apple, harassing just a vulnerable employee.
Zelda Perkins is someone who knows all too well the detrimental impact of signing an NDA. More than 20 years ago, she was forced to sign a confidentiality clause when she was working for film producer Harvey Weinstein. She explains why she finally decided to break her silence and advocate for their reform.
Everybody needed to see that the system was causing a problem. I knew it was really bad, and at the time when I was 24, I thought it was ethically dubious, but I was sitting in a room full of eminent lawyers, including counsel, who told me to sign it. I think my overriding impression from all of this is that lawyers have been offering non-disclosure agreements and settlement agreements as a panacea, and they're not. It's easy for them, it's easy for the client, they presume, but it's not a product that should be being sold to people. And ethically, I don't think it's a product that should be being sold to people. And if people are going to enter into those agreements, it needs to be made really clear to them what the ramifications are. What's happened is this weaponization. We now umbrella everything with the term NDA. This whole sort of non-disclosure clause has now slipped in as a norm. And I think that really needs to be examined.
The increased scrutiny on NDAs has also shone a light on the role of regulators in the UK, says Maria Miller.
When the issue was first given publicity, the regulators were slightly caught on the hop and have had to play rapid catch up. And I would say that it's quite clear that particularly the Solicitors Regulatory Authority have done a huge amount of work to attempt to try and focus the legal profession on this as an issue. The question mark then comes, I think, with other regulators and whether there's more that they could be doing, particularly in the financial sector, where there have been concerns expressed. And, I'd be interested in what the government feels the role of regulators should be. For me, it's very clear there's a public sector equality duty at play where there needs to be regard given to equality issues, and the role of NDAs within that, I think, is an interesting one for them to be considering.
Zelda Perkins fears the failure to strengthen legislation and regulation could thwart existing efforts to change the culture that has facilitated the widespread abuse of NDAs.
Absolutely, legislation needs to back this up. The regulators have been providing practice notes and guidance and warnings, but that's not enough. My concern is that in another 5 years, it will slide back, but it'll slide back to a worse place because of the light that's been shone on it now. When solicitors make these agreements, they will make them harder to find, deeper and more complex, because they have an inkling now that this is not as acceptable as it was.
Maria Miller says greater transparency is needed, but that mandatory reporting may not be a solution.
I think there's a great role for transparency here, but you're dealing with a very intelligent group of people, lawyers, who may be able to find ways around that transparency. I was worried that by simply creating a need to report non-disclosure agreements may leave people with the ability to be able to circumvent that in ways which would be difficult to know about. And then you would end up with a data set which would be inaccurate, potentially. But I think there's still, the jury's slightly out on that. It could be a way forward. It may not be.
Ultimately, Parkins says cleaning up the use of NDAs will be good for businesses everywhere.
This is an issue that covers all sectors. And I know that certainly there's been a focus on the legal sector, which is good because that's clearing up your own house before you go any further. But this is something that goes on everywhere. It's changing a culture, it's changing a way of thought. And it's not as dramatic as everybody thinks. The legal sector and business sector initially got in a real fluster about it and thought that, you know, that trying to ban NDAs or trying to change NDAs was going to be damaging. But actually, if you look at it from the correct perspective, it's actually going to be very helpful to businesses. You know, you want to be a business that has a good employment record.